Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I love that woman, but
let's kick it off with our intro music. Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests.
But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year, and you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. Thank you for being here tonight on the Rad Reality Show Network. Tonight is December 6, 2012, and we're featuring our Survivor Philippines Roundtable Show hosted by Travis Sampson, also known as Bubba, from Survivor Vanuatu. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight along with Mr. Paul from Minnesota. How are you tonight, Paul?
I'm doing good. I did something earlier today that I'll talk about, but it was basically a waste of my time. But a little tease.
A little tease. Well, let's go ahead and talk about it. What'd you do?
I went to the Mall of America.
You went to the Mall of America. What were you doing at the Mall of America?
I went there because we have a local reality celebrity that popped into town for today just to say hi to the local people, and I don't even know if you know who I'm talking about.
Is it a blonde?
No, it's not a blonde. It's somebody that is in the final four of a reality show.
The final four of a reality show.
And it sounds to me like you have not been watching The Voice this year, but we've got a local...
Oh, I am watching The Voice. Oh, my
All
gosh,
right.
I'm loving The Voice right now, and I love him.
Nicholas David.
Yes.
Nicholas David made an appearance at the Mall of America today. So I went down there. I had gone down there last week to see Janelle, or Chef Joe, because it was kind of his deal, but Chef Joe and Janelle, and never found them. So I was disappointed with that. So I got there, they announced it was 11 a.m., and I got there just about right at 11 a.m. I found a place to park pretty easily. I knew exactly where to walk to, which was not the same case on both accounts when I went to see Joe and Janelle. And it wasn't as busy, but I went right there, get down, and it's on a little stage in a corner of the amusement park that's right in the middle of the Mall of America. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard that there's this huge amusement park in the interior. Had you known that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, the Mall of America is humongous. I mean, it's the size of a city when you basically look, I mean, just walk through it. But it basically has four sides to it where all the shops are, but on the interior, and totally enclosed, but on the interior is a big amusement park with a bunch of rides and kids' attractions and all this type of thing. And in one corner, they had the stage that they call the patio, and that's where he was going to make his appearance. Well, there wasn't much room to stand. It was hard to see. The acoustics in this huge place is like if you were in a cave and you hear echoing and echoing and echoing. And they only had two speakers right on stage, so everybody that was a distance away, you know, that was on their tippy toes looking to see if they could even see, could not hear his interview, because by the time it got to us, it was echoing and indistinguishable. And then he sang a few songs, and you couldn't even hear his songs. I was going to get pictures. I had a hell of a time even getting pictures. And it was basically very disappointing and a waste of time. If I'd gotten there early and I was standing right on the, you know, by the stage, it may have been a different experience, but I was just kind of disappointed. So that was my story for today.
I'm very sorry to hear that, Paul, but good for you for making the effort, and I wish you would have been able to get up there and get closer, but good for you for making the effort.
Before we go on, let me ask you real quick. I have to admit, I haven't been watching it. I'm now going to try to catch up on episodes. But does he have a real shot at winning this thing?
I don't know that he has a real shot at winning, but he's really good, and we'll see. I mean, he's in the Final Four, and he just knocked out a huge contender on Tuesday. Yes, 2 days ago. On Tuesday, so we'll see. He's got a big following, so we'll see. But we do have our host of the show on the switchboard, so let's do his intro and bring him on the line.
Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Rich Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox. Stopped the with a one shot.
Bubba, thank you so much. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I love hearing that song. It always puts me in the mood.
Yeah. I'm glad you're doing good, but how about that jukebox?
Hey.
The jukebox ain't worth a damn, huh?
Louder, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Man. So what do you think about the show? Was that not awesome?
I'm telling you what, this has been one of the best Survivor seasons ever. This has been one of my favorite Survivor seasons of all time.
Every single episode is, you know, in the past you watch two or three episodes and you go, oh, okay, another episode. Not every single one is just great.
Absolutely. And it just keeps building. I mean, anytime you have the family visits, or family letters, that's always a popular episode or something like that, you know. But there was so much other that was added to this, you know, Lisa's brother coming out and really kind of getting her in perspective and stuff like that. But what got me was when I was watching the show, how they played it where Abby might go home. She might get voted off as either her or Carter. To me, it was a no-brainer. Carter was going home. There was no other way around it, because if you think, Michael and Lisa, if they keep Abby and they get down to the final four, if one of them three wins immunity, they're going to get rid of, what's his name, long-haired pretty boy?
Malcolm.
Yeah, get rid of Malcolm. But if Malcolm wins it, it's going to be easy to say, hey, Malcolm, let's get rid of Abby. It goes back when we first started this season when I told you about everybody was wanting to vote off Rory. And we thought, man, he's a great lightning rod. We'll keep him in the game.
Right, right.
You know, they're doing the same thing with Abby. So last time when they went to tribal council, I knew Carter was going to go. I mean, it was the smartest thing they could do at that point.
It was smart, but just my heart kind of went out to him because he is an awful nice guy. But strategy-wise, I follow that.
Mm-hmm.
I hated
right.
to see Penner go last week, too. Penner, too, is one of those people that you hated to see go. I mean, he's just one of those guys. He had a great connection with Lisa. And he's been on the show before and on our show before. He just is a real likable guy. And I just hated to see him go, but
yeah, I'm laughing because as soon as you talk about Penner going, my mind goes to him walking down that pathway.
Oh, I know. And I went into some depth today in doing some investigative work on them naming the tribe. And, you know, we didn't get to actually see them name the tribe this year. And I found out that Dang Rain wasn't actually what they initially named the tribe. But what they initially named the tribe would not have made it on air.
Really?
Right. It started with an F. And it was the cast, you know, the director said, you can name it that, but it will never make it on air. We'll never be able to show the flag. And you'll never be able to say the name of the tribe on air, and that would be a real shame.
Well,
and so if you name it that, that's going to be, and so they said, okay, all right. And so they dropped back and they sort of changed it to Dang Rain because they were just so frustrated at the rain. They knew it was going to have something to do with the rain.
Well, I mentioned it last week. That rain is quick. I mean, they haven't had a shot of any significant rain for weeks, you know, episode-wise for a long time. So I'm at least pleased that maybe naming the tribe that cleared the skies for them. I don't know.
But I tell you what, with them naming that and editing that, it's an old Southern saying, but we had people crying about the rain and the conditions and stuff like that, and I got so tired of it. In one of my interviews, I said, I wish old Jeff Pope Probst would just whip out a sugar titty and let him nurse on it. Well, they cut that out, and they said, because they was thinking, because I said, you know, Jeff whip out a sugar titty. They thought I was referring to something else because he's a guy. And no, a sugar tea is like a rag you dip down in sugar water and let a baby teeth on it, chew on it. It keeps it from crying.
That's a southern thing. When I laughed, I haven't heard that saying in so long.
Wrong, yeah. And I was like, I said, whip out a sugar tea and let them nurse on it. And they thought I was being vulgar. And I said, really? You saw how I played the game. I was the only one out there that didn't curse. And, you know, you're, really? You know?
That's something I haven't heard, and I bet you I haven't heard that phrase in 30 years, Bubba.
Yeah.
I have not heard that phrase in so long.
But they edited that because they thought I was referring to something else. So, you know, they do that a lot.
Wow.
You know, and the way Abby is, you know, I think that she is getting people under people's skin. And I think that the tribal council, when it came there, she got under people's skin and stuff like that. But I wouldn't have put it past CBS, because they're saying, I hadn't watched my season in a while, I could go back and point things out. But I wouldn't put it past CBS having interviews where they've taken clips out of people's interviews where they complained about her and saved them and kind of piled them up in a few episodes to make it look like she's going beyond what she's actually doing. You know what I'm saying? To make it, you know, even more so. But
that could be. That could be.
You know, just kind of pile it on there. But, you know, a lot of people was wondering, was the challenges fixed and stuff like that? No, I mean, not unless you're there. You know, I can bring up things that I think was kind of questionable about my season, but you really can't say that they fixed the challenge for it unless you were there and saw it yourself, you know?
Right. Well, they started out the show with them returning from tribal. Abby's saying it was clear to her that Malcolm, Denise, Lisa, and Scoopin had a final four. Her and Carter were talking about how they're going to be picked off next, and Abby was saying out loud that it's no, if she has the fourth hidden immunity idol, she has it. Lisa was talking about how she believes what she did at tribal voting out Penner was the right thing to do. Going against her word wouldn't have been who she is. And then they go to the reward challenge, and Jeff tells them that they're going to be paired with a loved one for this challenge. And they all just lit up. And Scoopin was first, and he said, Jeff said that, here's Michael Scoopin, and it was his oldest son, Michael, I think it's Michael Leo Scoopin, I believe is his name. It's Mike's oldest son, and Mike Scoopin said he's the best human being I know. For 12 years, he was saying, are you ever going to do it again? Are you going to go back? Let's do it together. And then he said he met you, to Jeff Probst. He met you 12 years ago. He probably doesn't even remember. And he said, that's Jeff Probst. And his son says, I know. And they grabbed each other and laughed and hugged and walked off. And then Carter was next. And Jeff asked him, who would you like to see right now? And Carter said, my mom. And Jeff said, Carter, here's your mom. And they embraced. And Carter says, this never happens. And Jeff says, what? And he says, me breaking down, you know, and Carter was in tears. And then Jeff said, Denise, here's your man, Brad. And she runs and just jumps into his arms. And she was crying and just wiping her tears and everything else on Brad. And Jeff says, Brad, you're now a survivor. You have snot on your shirt. Everyone kind of laughed.
Her being a sexual therapist, her, that kind of glopped on hug she's getting there, I thought we was getting ready to have a black box on the screen or something.
That's pretty good.
You know.
That's pretty good. She said, this is the guy who can make me laugh, can call me on my whatever, and wake up the next morning and it's all good. Brad said, she has so much strength, so much love, all in this tiny little package that is just so much more than people can ever know. Jeff tells them both to go stand with the others and tells Brad he can carry her there. Lisa, here's your brother, Justice. She breaks down in, like, the ugly cry. I mean, total emotional sob cry, and embraces her brother just so tight. And Jeff says, I've got to say, Lisa, I've seen some pretty powerful moments involving loved ones, but this might be at the top. And Lisa says, I don't think I've ever needed any person more in my life than at this moment. And if I could pick any person, it would be my baby brother. Isn't he beautiful? And she's just, like, glowing.
Yeah, and she's shaking uncontrollably.
Oh, my gosh. She was just so, just thoroughly rippled with emotion at that point.
Yes.
Just unbelievable through and through emotion. And then Jeff said, Abby, you've had a tough journey of late. Be nice to have a little love. Who'd be better than your mom? Here's your mom, Vera. And they have to translate for her because she doesn't really speak English. And so they have to sort of translate that it's been a long journey for her, and she's somewhat confused. But they have a very nice, you know, embrace, and she's very glad to see her mom. And so then they move on, and Jeff says, well, now that everyone's had their love, and Malcolm says, Jeff, wait, you've made a mistake. And Jeff says, oh, I wouldn't leave you out, Malcolm. Here's your brother, Miles. And then Malcolm's brother, Miles, just comes, like, barely out, and Malcolm actually has to say, whoa, wait. Because Miles was running at him so fast and hard, he was about ready to, like, tackle him. And so, you know, they sort of, you know, take a look at each other. And Malcolm tells Miles, I look so good now with my shirt off, you wouldn't believe. And I'm taking that headband, too, because Miles is wearing, like, a white headband. And Miles says that Malcolm looks like a colonel from some ship back in the 1700s. So Jeff asked Miles if he was a fan of the show. And they actually explained, and I thought this was kind of interesting, that they weren't allowed to watch TV during the week unless it was Survivor. So I guess as they were growing up and, like, going to school, when they were kids, they weren't allowed to watch TV during the week, and I guess they had to, like, pick one show, you know, during the week that they got to watch, and they chose, I guess that was the case, whatever he said that they weren't allowed to watch TV during the week unless it was Survivor. So I'd like to find out a little bit more about that at some point. Maybe we can get Malcolm on here later on and find out what that was about. But then they go on to the challenge, and they have to throw mud rags. And they have to hit 5 bamboo pole targets. And Malcolm and Miles win. And Jeff tells them they can pick one team to take. The winning team gets to basically take their loved one back to camp with them to spend the afternoon and night with, like always in every Survivor season. And Malcolm chooses Lisa because of the trouble she's been having recently and just emotional, you know, trouble being out there. And so he chooses Lisa. And then Scoopin yells to Malcolm to ask for another. And so Malcolm looks to Jeff and he says, can I have another? And Jeff says, you asked for another? I'll give you one more. And so then Malcolm says, I'm sorry, guys. Scooping. And so now it's Malcolm, Miles, Lisa and Justice, her brother, and Michael Sr. and Michael Jr. get to share this experience together. And the rest of them have to say goodbye to their loved ones. Which is I'm sure, really difficult. You know, for the ones that have to say goodbye. And I'm sure it was really difficult for Denise because I'm sure she was hoping that Malcolm, since they've been so tight since the very beginning, I'm sure she was hoping that he would pick her. But I think she knew why he was doing what he was doing. And he did explain that he was rewarding Scoopin and Lisa for voting with him and Denise in these last few tribal councils. so I'm sure it was really difficult for Denise to say goodbye to her husband. But I think she understood what Malcolm was doing. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
I think she understood.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think I totally agree with you. You know, I would like to hear some of the talk after, you know, the challenge and whatnot, talking about it. But, yeah, I think you're right on. She knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then they talked about strategy, and they, you know, they talked about, like, Lisa told her brother Justice what she had done, how she had found the idol of Malcolm's, and how she had told him about it, how she had almost voted off Malcolm, and that kind of thing. And he realized that he was out there to sort of pick her back up and tell her that she's out there to play the game. And, you know, they prayed together, and it was really a really touching scene to see them connect like they did. It was almost like they had known each other. Seeing Lisa and her brother and Scoopin and his son, they just seemed to have a real connection out there. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times Christians have that combination of being able to reach, because you've got that common denominator in your life, which is Christ. But, you know, Malcolm did make the comment, you know, they're probably over at Jesus and up, you know.
Right. And Malcolm, you know, also made the comment that he was concerned that Lisa's brother might be, you know, smart enough to give her, you know, or snap her back from playing from her heart to playing for real. And so he was concerned. He knew that, you know, she had been playing from her heart, and her brother being there might, you know, snap her back into reality and get her back into playing, you know, the game as it should be played. And so he had some real concern, and as well he should have. But they had to say goodbye to their loved ones, and then it was time to go on to the immunity challenge, which gives them a 1-in-5 shot at winning Survivor. And they have to run from one platform to over a balance beam to another platform, where they have to use a big hook to fish out 3 bags of sticks out of the water. And once they have all 3 bags, then they swim over to the shore, tie the sticks together with string to make a pole long enough to push a button, which will release a flag, making them the winner. Carter gets his 3 bags first, Scoopin second, Lisa third, Malcolm fourth, Denise fifth, and Abby sixth. Lisa is the first one to actually tie her sticks together and give it a shot. She can't do it. Carter is second to try it. He can't do it. Scoopin's third. He can't do it. Then Malcolm gets his tied together, and he's trying. Carter has readjusted his, and then it's Carter and Malcolm trying, and Malcolm actually pushes the button, and Malcolm wins the challenge. So he wins immunity. And that's exactly what Lisa didn't want. And it showed Lisa saying, it's such a funny voice she used. I'm so bummed. I was hoping to play this game hard and make a big move, and poof. And Malcolm wins immunity, and Lisa's plan is shot into smithereens. And so they're back at camp, and Lisa and Scoopin are talking about, you know, who they want to vote off, Carter or Abby. And then it cuts to Scoopin and Malcolm talking about it, and Carter walks up on him, and Scoopin is honest enough to tell Carter that, you know, they're talking about him. And he says, you know, you have one thing against you, and that's that you're a threat. The other 100,000 reasons are against Abby. And so back at camp, it shows Abby, you know, stirring the pot again. She's talking about who has written her name down, whose name hasn't been written down yet. And it's just getting Abby ugly again. Denise asks if there's any way that they can just let this conversation rest, but Abby just keeps pushing it on and saying how she may have to play her hidden immunity idol because they're all sitting pretty in a Final Four, and Malcolm likens her to a soul sucker or the Dementors from Harry Potter, and saying she's just a drain on camp life. And Lisa says she's officially over it. Glare at me, cuss at me, I don't care. Then they mention that it could be cultural, but Denise says it's not cultural. It's the culture of Abby, and which I thought was kind of funny. Malcolm says, plain and simple, if Abby goes home tonight, it's because she's a bitch. And at Tribal, Carter tells Jeff that he thinks the Alliance of Four should take him further tonight because they've talked all along about keeping people in the game who deserve to be there. Scoopin says that it would be like voting out his own son to vote out Carter. And Probst asks Lisa if she'd rather be sitting next to someone who deserves to be there or someone you know you can beat. And Lisa says, surprisingly, someone she could beat. And then Jeff asks Abby if she's surprised that she might actually be staying. And she said a little, but, you know, she again claims that she has the fourth hidden immunity idol. And Jeff asked Denise about her and Abby's relationship. And Jeff asked, maybe there might be too much baggage. And Abby got it all confused and says, I am baggage? And they had to explain to her, no, there's too much baggage in your relationship in the last, like, 31 days. And Abby says, oh, I understand. Okay, there's too much baggage. And so, anyway, they went to vote, and Carter was voted out. So that pretty much wraps up the my notes for the show.
It's like, you know, if you want to win Survivor, because now, because they kind of started in their season about keeping somebody for a lightning rod, and now it seems people have picked up on it and started using it. So now if you want to win Survivor, be the lightning rod. People will keep you around to get to the end of the game and say, hey, look, I didn't have any big alliances. Everybody wanted to get rid of me, but I'm still here.
And boy, you couldn't have a bigger lightning rod than Abby.
Oh, I know.
I mean, she is playing it for all it's worth.
Absolutely. But
how do you think it's going to shake down, though, once it gets down to the Final Four?
I think what's going to happen is they're keeping Abby around in case Malcolm wins. You can always convince Malcolm to vote out Abby. You can convince Abby to vote out Malcolm. Say, hey, look, we're going to keep her out. We're going to vote her out. It's going to keep her further in the game. Because Malcolm and Abby are at the ends. So, by keeping them both in the game, you're sure. But who would you rather step aside at the end of the game? Abby. Because, you know, if you vote Malcolm out, what's that lady's name? Sex therapist?
Denise.
Denise, right, thank you, Paul. She's going to end up voting for Malcolm, you know, to win. If Malcolm gets voted out, he's going to vote for Denise to win. when it comes down to the final three, you know that right there, you can't count any of the votes, so it don't really matter which one you put in there. Unless, I think more people would vote for Malcolm to win. I don't think Scoop would get the votes because he's been there before. But see, if I was Scoop, I would use that as, you know, my plea to win. So, hey, look, y'all want to get me out early. You want to get me out early because I played before, and I still made it to the end.
Exactly. I've had a target on my back this whole game, and I look where I'm at.
Right.
I want to.
A perfect, you know, plan for him.
I want to ask, Malcolm has a hidden immunity idol. Would it be foolish of him, even if he feels safe, not to use it next week?
That's all. He can't use it after next week anyway. He might as well play it.
He might as well play it.
Unless he just wants to take it home for a souvenir. Well, let's get real. I'd play it, you know, because you never know. Perfect example, they was wanting to vote him out. But I don't think he had a clue that was going to go down had he not won. So
now, going way back early in the show, we had a next week on Survivor teaser last week that showed the family members showing up, and they made a comment about Miles could threaten, you know, Malcolm's entire game. And so I'm sitting there always waiting to hear, okay, is he going to reveal something? Is he going to say something, you know, that Malcolm was keeping quiet? They never really addressed it. But then I kind of thought, you know what? It was probably when Miles, who's a pretty large kid, jumps into his arms after that win. And, I mean, he could have hurt him and broken his leg, twisted his ankle. He could have done some damage to Malcolm when he tackled him like that. So I think that might have been what they were referring to.
Yeah, he ran at him hard. He was definitely, he's a cute kid, though. And what I said to my husband when I saw him, and he talked about how they had watched every episode together. I looked at my husband and I said, you know, he just might be on Survivor next.
I was thinking that, too. He didn't even, I figured he would be, you know, kind of pitching something to Jeff. No, he's not the final say-so, but, you know, you'd think he would start pitching it. I mean, think about, who was it on the finale? When Russell said, you know, put me on the show, I will beat, you know, I'll beat him again. And so that's when they started that Redemption Island episode and brought him back just to, you know, put those guys up against each other. But, I did want to also bring up one thing that somebody in the chat room, I think it was Puff, mentioned, and I noticed it as well, that everybody, when their family members came, were all emotional and teary-eyed, except Abby, you know? And that kind of shows, you know, her character. I don't know the right word to look for, don't you think?
But she was saying things like, oh, that's so sweet, and, you know, even for the other people, as they were getting emotional, she was showing, you know, that she could feel their emotions.
That's very, very good point. I did notice that they had several shots of her as other family members were getting there. And she had empathy for sure.
She was. I'm not taking up for her too much, but she didn't cry when, you know, or get emotional when she, you know, met with her mom. And I did find that to be strange, because I know I would have, if I hadn't seen my family in that long, I would have been in tears. But
yeah, I do not know how she kept it.
But she did, you know, make comments about other people as they were meeting with their families and saying, you know, oh, how sweet, you know, and making remarks about others. So
certainly can get emotional, and you figure she is in such a low point and all that, and I don't know how she compartmentalized it, because if she got upset and was crying when she discovered that people didn't like her and she felt everybody hated her, and she started crying last week on that episode, or, you know, 2 weeks ago at the tribal, then on last week's episode there was a lot of tears and she was very emotional. You would have thought that there would be the same emotion, you know, when she saw her mom, but it really didn't. But her mom was so cute, and how difficult was it to, you know, not speak English and to, you know, get through all that. But the other thing, I mentioned it in the chat room, that tying sticks together, I have seen a good half a dozen times, if not more than that, in Survivor. And I always watch it, and I keep thinking, oh, you should do it this way, you should do that way. That, to me, would be something that if I got on Survivor, I would practice tying sticks together. And because if that comes up, if you have a good technique, you know, that can be huge.
That's like before I went, I practiced with knots.
There you go.
And, yeah, I practiced with untying knots and tying knots. And when I got on the show, we had a challenge where me and Amy was paired up, and we were behind in the thing. But we actually were all so fast at untying knots, because I looked at those knots and I thought, which obviously they were a Boy Scout or in the Navy when they tied these knots, because I just flipped through them like nothing. And I was kind of back in the challenge. But that's key, you know, knowing how to tie and untie knots. Tie sticks together,
exactly
how you pointed out. So, because tie sticks together, it comes in for challenges, it comes in for making, you know, your shelter, everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But the untying, that's the other part. Certainly, every season there is several times and you're untying knots. I also want to bring up again, and it certainly was justified, but again, it irritates me with Jeff calling people out during these challenges, and he was just laying into it with Abby. I mean, it was justified. She just seemed to be taking her time and getting her, you know, she was on the platform before she went in the water. She keeps adjusting this loop and that loop, and then she gets in and kind of, you know, takes it easy and walks up slowly, and he just laid into her, Jeff Probst, that is, and I don't know. It's been an irritant of mine as this season, especially, that he gets involved like that.
Yeah. Abby,
you know,
takes forever as if there was nothing attached to this challenge at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That was what he said. Yep.
So, you know, he calls her out, and he's called a number of people out in this season. And it seems like, you know, he's trying to point at who they want you to believe might be going home or who might should be going home that night. But,
well, you know, in Jeff's defense, because during our season he done stuff like that, but they didn't air it. And that's one of the things that I had a problem. You know, he done those things, but didn't air it. And then it led me to believe, you know, some people were getting tips. You know, you go to an interview, you ain't got a clue, and they go, what do you think about this? And maybe that person didn't even know about that. You know, so it's kind of like they're feeding them something. So you just, you don't know. And I told you about how they line out the challenges. People says they fixed that challenge just for Amy. No, maybe they didn't fix that, but they knew Amy would be good at or not Annie, Abby, would be good at that challenge. So they picked that challenge for Abby to do. You know, there's no set, this is challenge one, this is challenge two, this is challenge three. They have all the challenges they need, and then just kind of be bopped around which ones they want as the show goes on. So it makes you wonder. And, you know, it being on TV and calling them out and stuff like, it's rubbing a lot of fans the wrong way. You know, people wonder, is this the new Jeff or whatnot? And no. During our season, he called Rory out a few times. I mean, he even called him out in tribal council one time. He asked Rory a question, and Rory answered it, and he said, well, that's enough an answer. You know, it's just... You know, Jeff's wanting to stir the pot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you give him enough an answer, he'll call you on it, and then he goes, Bubba, you know, when he'll ask me a question. And he knew I would be straight out. And that's when I said that line. Jeff, I said, I've told these men time and time again, you never underestimate a woman. And I said, them walking around camp thinking, oh, we got this challenge, we got this challenge. I said, it's a joke. We got our hind ends kicked. You know, I called my tribe out for what they're doing in camp, you know. But you toss them, you know, lofty softballs out there. So Jeff will smack them down and say it's enough.
Yeah, he seems to be very perceptive. We certainly know that he probably gets briefed as to what's going on, you know, from the cameramen or the, you know, the editors or whatever, but he also seems to be very, you know, perceptive and kind of knows how to prod people and, you know, dig a little bit more and get them to say things, and he certainly does have that skill.
And he knows what goes on. He says he don't. He says he just asks basic questions and lets what happened happen. Now, that's what he says. But now, Jeff lives by that saying, be yourself, do your homework, be professional. He lives by that. His career is based on that. So you can't tell me that he's going out there hosting this and he ain't doing his homework on the contestants as the game's going on.
No. No way.
You can't convince me of that. He just, I mean, the way he's thinking of people, I mean, just, no. I just... He knows who to go to in those tribal councils to get things stirred up. So, I think, yeah, he's doing his homework.
The other thing I found funny was, you know, bless her heart, she stuck with her guns to the end, but even at tribal, Abby is saying that, you know, I've got the fourth immunity idol, you know, and it was... When Jeff says, if anybody would like to play, it was like these smiles across their faces because they pretty much, her tribe mates had pretty much figured that, you know, a good percentage of them figured that she didn't have one. But I got to give her credit that she really tried to play that up. And if it worked, then, you know, power to her. But.
Yeah, she even talked about how she's starting to believe her own lies. She's starting to convince herself.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
All right. So we pretty much several weeks ago figured that it was Lisa and Scoopin had the alliance. But I don't know if we ever came up with a third. And when Malcolm... picked those two for family members to join him, maybe it was too obvious, but I'm thinking that he could be a third.
He's going to have to win if he's going to be a third. I mean, I know, you know, and of course I'm on the outside looking in, we are, but I wouldn't want to sit next to Malcolm.
No, I agree, but when you form an alliance early on, it is with the intention of getting you near the end, whether it be final four, final three, you know, maybe not final three, but you know. And once you get close to the end like that, it's basically, you know, you've got to figure out what's best for you, and your alliance members probably, you know, understand that, and it's up to them to win. But, I mean, it just, I don't know. I don't know if that was too obvious when he didn't even give Denise, who he's been with from day one, when he didn't pick her and he picked the other two, that just, maybe it just seemed too obvious to me.
Well, if Michael and Lisa are playing smart, and I think they are, they're going to take Abby to the end. It makes logical sense. How could you sit next to someone that says, hey, we were in a tribe that got mutilated at the beginning of the game, and then we were split apart. The odds were against us. I mean, coming back from that, that's going to be a real hard thing to beat. So
that's true.
You know, I would have Lisa, Michael, and Abby. That's if I was Michael and Lisa, that's the final three I would shoot for.
And did you guys? I'm sure you did. It was evident. But when Jeff asked, I don't know who he asked, but a couple people, if they thought maybe it was Denise. Do you think that Abby? Yeah, I think it was Denise. Do you think Abby could win this game? And she flat out says no. And Abby kind of looked like she looked incredulous. She's like, "You're kidding? You don't think I can win?" I mean,
she's kidding herself if she thinks she can win at this point. And I'm not saying nothing bad at Abby because I don't know her personally, and you know, you always have to throw editing in there. But
you're right.
The way people's talking about her,
you just go see how. And it's kind of, it's bad gameplay. I mean, when everything was kind of pointing towards Malcolm that people wanted out, and then some of it could be editing, but it was all of a sudden Abby starts trashing people, you know, back at camp again and getting nasty with people again. I mean, Abby, come on, you're on the outs. Keep your mouth shut. Keep it to yourself. I mean, she started causing trouble again.
Yeah, she needs, once you ruffle feathers out there on the island, the best thing to do is stay busy, do work, keep your mouth shut, and don't try to be the life of everybody else's party. You know, have a relationship with each party. You don't have to be everybody's best friend. But once you kind of mess up, lay low. Don't try to be the life of everybody else's party. Give it a little time. Somebody else is going to screw up.
Somebody in the chat room just said, I would be afraid the jury might choose Abby in the end for surviving while being hated the whole game if she made it to the final three. Someone else said that they would not take Abby to the end because you would get another Sandra winning. No one thought Sandra was going to win either for her second round in Survivor, but she did. What do you think about that, Travis? Do you think that the jury would even consider voting for Abby because she made it to the final three after being hated the whole game? Do you think
that depends on who she's sitting beside? Reason being, let's go all the way back to Survivor Borneo. Who thought Richard Hatch would have the ability to convince the jury he deserved that $1 million? But he did. So it really comes down, Abby, I don't think she's going to be the jury. Abby could say, hey, look, everybody hated me, and I made it this far. Then Scoop could come back and say, look, we carried you this far. It wasn't no gameplay. It obviously wasn't your personality. It wasn't your social skills. We carried you here. You were just a pawn in this game.
Right.
It was nothing that you've done. Tell me something you've done. You know, play the game. That's what Richard Hatch said. You know, hey, you didn't like how I played, but I fed you. I played the game. by me continuing to feed you, you continue to keep me around. You know, so she don't have none of that to fall back on. I would definitely take her to the final three. Definitely.
Over what the other two have to say, I mean, Denise and Malcolm especially, what they've battled back from. Denise has
exactly.
some of the worst luck in the world.
And see, that's why they've got to go. They got to get voted out. They got to go. You got to get Denise and you got to get Malcolm out. Because
both of her, the tribe she was on just disintegrated around her, and she still survived both of them.
Exactly. Now, Scoop's smart enough, Lisa's smart enough to know that they came back from that. Then they were split up. They had to create all new relationships, and all these other people in this tribe had a head start. And they had
right.
to make up ground, in which they done a very good job, I might add. Very good job. They used messaging skills, reflective listening skills. If they disagreed with someone or something like that, they would listen how what they their point of view helped improve their point, and they kind of told them why they disagree. And it really didn't ruffle any feathers. They played brilliantly. I think Lisa and Scoopin is smart enough to know if they if just one of them gets into the final three, it could blow it out of the water. I think Scoopin is smart enough to realize that he might be able to out-talk Lisa, saying he'd done more in the game, but then Lisa could turn around and say, hey, I'm the one that made the big moves and stepped out. So, you know, it is coming down to that, but I think Abby would be the one you would
I always contend that there's different components to playing the game, and one of the components that is big, in my opinion, is the social game. And you're absolutely right. Both Denise and Malcolm were able to play the social game when they got split up in the tribes they went to. Plus, they are both very strong. Denise is just, she's probably one of the strongest females in the whole season. I mean, she just impresses the hell out of me what she has done.
She's just a little powerhouse.
She's
not a young woman. She's not, by far, not the youngest woman there, but she is a
powerhouse. I would like to see her and Jolanda Jones in a competition with one another.
Oh my goodness.
The two most physical women that play the game.
I like what Puff calls her in the chat room, Denise the Beast.
Yep. She is. She is amazing. I have so much mad respect for her. She is absolutely amazing. And so, I think we've pretty much settled that score. I think that you're absolutely on the money, Bubba, that it would almost have to be Abby to go with Lisa and Scoop into the final three.
The person in the chat room that made the comment, why would you want to take Abby because she could argue that nobody liked her and she made it to the end, that would be, and that's a brilliant observation. That's very, very good. That would be her only argument. And it is a good argument, but the other people's arguments are so much stronger. You know, you got Denise and Malcolm, look what they came back from. You got Scoopin'. They've had a target on his back the whole game. Lisa had a little bit adversity there and stuff like that, but for most part of the game, she hasn't had that much, you know. People thought she was weak at first, but, I mean, she came on. She wasn't the best at challenges, but she wasn't the worst at challenges. I think a lot of the things is she listens to Scoop say, hey, this challenge, like when they was trying to move a big ball, her job was just grab Denise, don't let her up, you know.
Right.
So, you know, everybody's got an argument. I just don't think Abby has a strong enough argument to win.
I agree.
So, but
now,
I tell you, if Denise and Malcolm get in the final three, I don't see Michael's
anyone.
Yeah.
Now, do you? I don't see this happening because it's Scoopin'. but do you think that if he was in the final three with Lisa, that he would bring out the fact that she, you know, is a TV star?
No.
I don't either. Now,
I don't think, he could base enough on her game that he wouldn't have to go there.
Right. Now, what about, what do you think? Do you think Penner might be telling people back at Ponderosa?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I honestly think that he don't have to bring that out. It's already brought out. They're back at the Ponderosa talking. Scoop don't need to bring that out. And matter of fact, it would probably earn him votes than saying they know that she's a TV star now, the Penner's hole. But if Scoop don't come out and say, well, she's a television star, she had all this money, she don't, if he don't go there, you have to say, you know, that's pretty admirable that he knows that.
Yep.
He didn't go there. He's basing it on the game. Not
right.
What
gameplay
happened
alone.
Before, but the game. Playing the game. You know, I mean, people can't help if they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. People can't born, or, just take when the game starts, the game ends, and base it on that. Not what's going on outside. You shouldn't. And I think if Scoop don't bring it up, he'll
it's just more points for him.
Right.
Right. And I think you're right. I think Jonathan will handle that back at Ponderosa.
Absolutely.
Right. So I think that'll all be covered before, you know, before Scoopin' will ever need to, and I think he will look more admirable for not saying anything about that.
But
and
Lisa,
I don't think he will.
She probably knew when she voted out Pender that everybody was going to know. But if you think, if she's thinking, if I'm sitting next to Abby, they're not going to vote her to win. If I'm sitting next to Scoopin', they've been trying to get him out all game because he's played before. Lisa's thinking I'm a shoe-in.
Yep.
But you got
the
ability to sway the jury. There's a lot of good arguments, but I can see it from the way Lisa's looking at it, see the way Michael's looking at it. With what you got left, you got to get Denise and Malcolm out.
Yeah.
Right. They've still got work to do, that's for sure.
Yep.
But it's going to be interesting to see, you know.
Malcolm wins immunity. Or whether he don't, he's going to play that idol. You want to make sure that Denise don't win it. Denise is going home next week. That would be my guess.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, because if Denise, all right, let's put this scenario: Denise wins the immunity challenge, so she's got the immunity. Malcolm plays his hidden immunity. Who ends up leaving?
You gotta have to take out Abby.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
have to keep Denise from winning
she's
immunity
expendable.
Next week.
You know, she's expendable. You know, you want to take her to the end, but if you don't get to take her to the end, that's okay, as long as you get another 3 days. And that's huge. Sometimes when your back's against the wall, it's like, man, if I could just get 3 more days, a lot can happen in 3 days. A lot.
Well, you know, we see in the previews of next week, Abby giving information to Lisa.
Right.
So it looks like those two are, you know, getting a little closer.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think... Lisa is an actor, and she don't want a bunch of drama. I mean, she's
very tolerant. I mean, the way Abby has talked to Lisa and the things she said to Lisa, she really is very tolerant of that. She might, for a moment, it might bother her, but she gets over it pretty quickly. But I am starting to to not even care about next week on Survivor, because so often they tease us with something and it so doesn't go that way, you know.
I think what she's doing is sitting there accepting all this information Abby is feeding her and saying thank you very much, and you know, putting on a smile for Abby and playing her just like Abby has, you know, dished it to Lisa so much. I think Lisa's finally dishing some back to Abby with a smile.
Right.
Passive aggressive.
Right.
But, you know, just pacifier.
Right.
The next tribal council. You know, pacifier. That's what I would do. But Denise would have to go. That would be the one. I'd make sure that don't win. I'd make sure she don't win. I mean, I'll honestly think that maybe it's already been done, that maybe Scoop and Lisa has went to Abby and said, hey, look, this is what we're doing, and told her how everybody felt, and say, hey, we're doing this, and we want to take us to final three and let her know. I mean, because if she honestly thought she was on the hot seat with Carter, I think she would have tried a little bit harder in that challenge. She had a sense of security. And I, for one, can tell you when we were looking at our season and we was digging through the ground trying to find those rings to the ladder and put it on, I wasn't going all out. Why? I was safe. There's
right.
no reason for me to go all out. I'm not going to show everybody how good I am at certain challenges or not tying or stuff like that just yet. I'll finish about middle ways.
All right, but having watched Abby, though, would you trust telling her that she wouldn't somehow spill that information to Malcolm and Denise?
Not in so many words. I wouldn't come right out and tell her. You know, but the thing is, if you come at her, she's a woman without a country right now. If she had two people come up and said, hey, we're final three, this is what we're, why would you want to butt that?
Well, I agree with you on that, but she has over and over again tried to shoot herself in the foot. Why did she engage on last night's episode? Just be quiet.
Yeah,
I don't know.
See, your problem, Paul, is you're thinking logically.
Yeah, no, you're right. Before you hit the nail on the head with that comment.
You know, I mean, you know, you get out there, and a lot of times you think and you do things that, I mean, you're dehydrated, you're starving and stuff. Of course, they make pretty good. But, you know, sometimes you don't think logically, and sometimes you just don't bring logic with you to the game. You know, you just don't know, but, you know, I think, you know, a lot of times she just wasn't thinking logically. So.
Yeah, that girl certainly doesn't think logically, especially when she gets on one of her moods where she's stirring the pot. She just can't let it go.
Right.
And she just gets on a rant and a roll, and I think she knows what she's doing, and she enjoys it. I think she really enjoys getting them stirred up. And
yeah, she enjoys the drama.
Yep, I think she is a little drama queen. And she feels now like, you know, hey, I now know that these people dislike me, so why not make them a little uncomfortable? You know?
You know,
they're
if,
not
if,
I'm
if
not
I,
on
if
their
on
team anyway, so.
And everybody was so tired of me that they just openly told me that they didn't like me. If she's smart, she would have went to Lisa and Michael Scoop and said, hey, look, you know, it's obvious I've rubbed people's feathers the wrong way. Who else better would you want sitting beside of you? She, you know, instead of Scooping and Lisa going to her, you never know, she may have went to them. So maybe she went to them, and that's why she didn't try so hard that challenge.
That
because
could
if
be.
You're back against the wall, and it's just you and Carter, I just don't see how or why somebody wouldn't be giving their all to stay in the game, because it's obvious that she wants to stay in the game. She knows something.
She certainly wasn't giving any effort in that challenge. I mean, that was pretty obvious. She was not trying in that challenge whatsoever.
Right. So. But next week, predicting that Denise will go home. I don't think she'll win immunity. And she'll be the one, I think, Michael, Lisa, and Addie will vote her out to go home. And I think Malcolm will vote for Abby, thinking that's who everybody else is going to vote for. Then he's going to realize the position he's in, and he realizes that he's going to have to win immunity. And my prediction, he falls short. He don't win immunity. And I'm picking Michael, Lisa, and Abby in the final three. That's how I think it'll go down. And that's honestly a guess. I knew about Michael and Lisa and stuff like that, but that would be my guess how that plays out.
Well, it's going to be fun to see this season come to a conclusion, but I have to say I will absolutely miss this season because this has been one of the most fun, likable seasons I have seen of Survivor in a long, long time, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And, Bubba, you have made it so much more enjoyable by having you with us here on the show. I can't thank you enough for being here with us. I know you're tired and you have to get up very, very early in the morning, so I thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I know, as I said, you have to get up so early, so
yeah,
we won't keep you any longer.
In the morning, it's
oh my gosh!
After 11 here, so
well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for being here with us. We'll let you get to bed. You have
right,
made this season
that.
So special for us, Bubba, and I just want to thank you from myself, from all of the fans. Paul, I'm sure you agree. You have made this season so special for us, and I thank
yeah.
you so much.
Well, I appreciate
you just
that.
Are
thank
such
you
a
so
great
much.
Fit for our show.
Okay.
And I was just at an event, Toys for Tots, up in New Hampshire, and I had many of the fans come up and tell me how much they enjoy listening to you and what a great fit you are for the show. And
well,
I just
great.
Want to pass that along to you.
Well, I appreciate
many
that.
Many fans came up to me and talked to me about you and how much they enjoy you. And so I just want you to know that fans are loving you and loving
yep.
your stories and what you have to say about Survivor.
Yep.
So just know that they're so thoroughly enjoying everything that you say and
right.
everything that you bring to the show. So we'll let you go and get some rest, and we'll look forward to having you back next Thursday to see
that's
what
great.
Happens on Survivor Philippines.
Okay.
You get some rest and take care, okay?
Okay. Take care, y'all. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay.
Take
bye,
care,
bye.
Hon. All right. Bye-bye. Wow, I just adore him. He is so sweet.
Yes. We have the finale of Survivor is, as we always have, there's a two-hour episode followed by the after show, the reveal, the reunion, whatever they call it. It is on Sunday, December 16th. I checked my listings. There is football ahead of time, and right now it's scheduled to come on, unless the game goes longer. It's scheduled to start at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, and you add 3 hours to it, so if it goes off as planned, it won't end until 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central. But if one of these games go into overtime or something like that, it could be even later than that. But Sunday, December 16th is Survivor's finale.
Wow. That's going to be a huge show. And we have a huge, huge show coming up Monday the 17th as well on Manic Monday. So
I want to also mention, before we talk about Manic Monday show, this Sunday, and I don't know how this is going to go, but this Sunday is the finale of
The
Amazing Race. It also could start a little bit later. I'm thinking, Cherry, that it might pay for us to start our show at 10:30 Eastern Time on Sunday, because I think if we start at 10, it's very possible that the Amazing Race finale will still be going on at 10 o'clock. So we're going to have to talk about that. But just a heads up to you listeners out there that come to our show on the Amazing Race show, Second Pick Stop with Louie, that we might be starting it a little bit later than normal. Have you thought about that at all yet, Cherry? Or maybe we need to talk off the air?
Yeah, we'll talk about that off air. I had looked at that, and I need to get with Louie and find out what his work schedule is and if he has availability to move the time back before we do that for sure. So we'll talk about that off air. But I know that it's going to be a big finale.
Yeah.
And then we do have a huge show coming up on Manic Monday on the 17th. Not this coming Monday, but the 17th.
And this coming Monday, when last show Michelle said she wouldn't be showing up, I thought, I wonder if this is football related. And sure enough, I checked Monday Night Football this coming Monday, New England Patriots at home playing Monday Night Football. So that's where Michelle will be.
Right.
But the following week, like you said, on the 17th.
We have an amazing guest. This guest is something that is so big for us. This guest his name is Derek Amato. He has been on the Today Show, the Jeff Probst Show, the Discovery Science Channel, on Ingenious Minds, which is now airing, Fox Television in Denver and nationwide, Nova Science Now, How Smart Can We Get, which is now airing, Canada AM Morning Show, Toronto, Canada, Weekend Sunrise Morning Show in Sydney, Australia, Sons of Anarchy Season 5 Finale. He's done so many radio and newspaper and magazine interviews, I can't even list them all. He's writing his own book. He's working on some amazing new projects that I won't go into right now, but I can tell you that the people he's working with you will recognize. I'm sure he'll talk about that on the show. But this guy is one of only 30 people in the world that can say what he can say. And he is a musical genius. He's a savant. And he's just someone that will be such a treat to have on our show. We've never had someone like him on our show before. And this interview will be different than most of the interviews he's done before, because the interviews he's done have been mostly like TV shows or radio shows where he only was able to spend, you know, do like a 7 or 8 minute spot, and they couldn't give him like an hour and a half to get into depth like Michelle's going to be able to. And so we're going to have an interview with him where we can really talk about his personal life in depth and get personal with him and just do an amazing interview with him. So I'm looking forward to this so much. This is going to be an epic, epic show. I'm putting together something now that we'll be advertising everywhere for this show, probably starting tomorrow. And I want everyone to share this on your Facebook pages. Share it with any groups that you belong to. We want to really get this one out there and let everyone know about this, because this isn't related to just reality TV. This one is something that everyone should be interested in. It's not just about reality TV at all. It has nothing to do with reality TV. This is just an amazing man with an amazing story to tell. And go ahead.
No, you said a lot, but he's actually, it's the description is acquired savant. Savants, the majority of those that we hear about have it from birth. But there are, like Jerry said, just a very small number of people that have acquired that kind of ability and genius later in life. And basically what happened with him is he was just goofing around. Somebody was throwing a football towards a swimming pool, and he went running and diving to catch it, and he hit his head on the bottom of the pool. And a few days later, he's playing piano, which he had never played before, in just an amazing way. Now, 2 days ago, and I don't know if it's archived, but I listened to this, Jerry. He did a live interview on a website called HuffPost Live. Oh, geez, I've already forgotten.
Huffington Post?
Yes, but it was a live show. And it was fascinating. They had scientists on. There was another savant, acquired savant, that was calling in from Australia, I believe. This guy had a stroke that generated it. But it is absolutely fascinating what has happened with Derek. He also, I've seen. On he was out at Reality Rally,
in
Temecula last year. He's gotten to know a lot of our friends, including Michelle,
correct,
and LaJuan.
They have met. Have met many of them. Yes,
he is an amazing musician. I did read a little bit that he's doing mostly Christian music right now, but it's just. It's such a rarity. We're talking about maybe, what'd you say, is 30 in the world?
30, I think, in the world that can say that they had this happen to them, that they did not have this ability prior to whatever event precipitated it.
My point is, think about 30 people in the world, and we're going to have one of 30 out of how many how many people in the world, population-wise?
Yeah. Right.
It is absolutely awesome. And he actually messaged me on Facebook. Probably doesn't even know who I am on the Rad Reality Show, but I had posted a link for him, and he friended me and said, "Oh, you're from Minnesota. I'm from that neck of the woods. I grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is right on the border of Minnesota and South Dakota." He now is living out in the Denver area, but I am getting really pumped up and excited for that, Sherry. Absolutely.
Yes,
just Google him, people. Google him, and you would not believe what you will find about Derek Amato.
Yes, this guy is. So I want everyone to, once I put this out there, I want everyone to share it on your pages, share it with any groups that you belong to, because this is something that isn't reality show related. This is something that everyone will want to join and come to listen to. So we want to really get this out there and have a great, huge audience for Derek and Michelle. Just, you know, we want to fill the room for Derek and have a wonderful audience for him. And I know that it's going to be an amazing story, an amazing interview with him. You just don't happen to come upon
no.
a story like this every day. And
no.
we are so blessed to have him come on our show.
Yeah. Now, this happened, for reference, in 2007, so it was about 5.5 years ago that this happened to him. And, yeah.
And he's so nice. I mean, he's just the nicest guy ever. I've talked to him on the phone, and he is just the nicest guy ever.
Very accommodating.
Very, very sweet guy. And so make sure that you share this. We'll get all the info out, and we're going to be advertising this from now until the show. Make sure that you pass on the word. We're going to try to make this a huge event. So I want to let everyone know so that you can share it with everyone that you know. And as Paul had mentioned, we will be doing the finale of The Amazing Race this coming Sunday. That's going to be a big show as well. We'll be letting everyone know the exact start time. I do have to get with Louie on his availability if we can start the show just a tad later. Because as we all know, with the sports being on prior to The Amazing Race, sometimes it starts a little later, and it's going to be a three-hour finale on The Amazing Race. And
two hours for Amazing Race,
2 hour for Amazing Race. But it may not be over by the time our show begins, and that really puts us in a bind. So
if Louie is available
to push it back to 10:30 Eastern, we may do that just so we're sure that we don't have the shows overlapping.
Maybe he can just say, because it's coming on late, I can only stay for, 20-30 minutes, and that's fine. We'll just, get a little commentary, rush through it, summary, and move on. But other things I wanted to mention, and I don't know because I didn't talk to you ahead of time, but, boy, did we have a slew of Big Brother birthdays the last 2 days. We had... yesterday was La Wonderful's birthday, and also Erica Landon's birthday, and today is James Ryan's birthday. He had a little gathering in Chicago yesterday. I'm not sure. Shaitan Joe was planning going there, but he wasn't. When I talked to him on the phone, he was not feeling all that positive about going. I don't know if he went or not. Do you know, Cherry?
I do not know. I do not.
Then we also have had some Big Brother people on some TV shows. Cara Monaco was just briefly seen in the audience. I watched the 90210 thing, and it was being filmed at the Playboy Mansion. She was in her bunny outfit with her bunny ears and outfit. I was going to say dress, but there's not a dress in that outfit. And I was not able to, by the way, I watched Sons of Anarchy, and I'm still not sure where or if Derek was on it or not. I was going to message him. Ashley tweeted a picture yesterday of her at a taping of a Telemundo dating show called 12, I translated, I can't pronounce in Spanish, but 12 Hearts. It's some crazy dating show. I don't know if it was a live show or whether it was taped and when we might see her on it, but it looks crazy. One of the networks, MUN2, re-airs those things, and they put English subtitles on it. So I'm hoping that I will see that version because I don't understand Spanish. And then about 9 days from now, Saturday, December 15th, on the WE Network is My Fair Wedding at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, of Rachel and Brendan's wedding. So we've got some things coming up, not only our big finales.
I can't wait to see Brendan and Rachel's wedding. I also saw where Russell Hance did tweet pictures of, I'll post this in the Rad Reality Show group page. He tweeted pictures of the letter that was passed to him when he was on Survivor that told him to play his idol. I'll post all of that in the Rad Reality Show group. I also saw where, and I was hoping that Joe was going to be here in the chat room to hear this tonight. Some sad news that Mob Wives Chicago has been canceled.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, that has been scrapped. Although they are planning on doing another Mob Wives of another city, and they listed a couple of cities that they're considering, but they have not nailed down exactly what city they will be doing it in. So it sounds like there will be another Mob Wives of another city, but it will not be Chicago. So sad. I thought Chicago was okay. You know, I was starting to sort of warm up to them. And it sounds like we won't be seeing them again. So it seems like, you know, as soon as we start warming up, they're gone. So there's a lot of information coming out there. I'll be posting some interesting things in the Rad Reality Show group page. And Mr. Mack, I'll make sure that you're officially in there tonight. And anyone else that wants to join the Rad Reality Show group page, just go in there and request to join, and we'll make sure that you get in there. We'd love to have you join us. I post a lot of information about upcoming events, things that people are casting for. If you're interested in casting for any reality shows, and information like Paul and I are talking about right now, information about reality shows, whether it's starting dates, information about shows that are canceled, information about shows coming up, all that kind of information we'll be posting on the Rad Reality Show group page.
Cool.
So,
join us if you'd like.
That is a page where we can all chat and talk amongst ourselves, and that's a page for us all just to you know, continue on from our chat room here as we talk amongst ourselves on the show. Carry on in the chat room there on the Rad Reality Show group page. That's cool. For everyone to use. So
yep. Hey,
join us from there.
Another thing just came to mind. I thought it was funny, but did you see the pictures on Reality Nation, the wedding pictures of Dominic and Danny?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's funny. Somehow, you know, he's a model, part-time, PT, part-time.
Right.
And somebody suggested him for this wedding shoot for, you know, some company that's into weddings. I'm not sure exactly who it is. And somebody said, well, you should get Danny Donato to do it with him. So there's pictures of them. They made up a phony wedding announcement. The parents of, you know, it was hilarious, but they were actually dressed up. They looked like it was a photo shoot from a wedding. It's quite funny.
I have to go and check that out.
On Reality Nation, you can find them. There's a link on that on Reality Nation to the actual photo shoot page that you can scroll and look at all the photos. But that was quite humorous.
I did see where gosh, there's so much in my brain. One of the Real Housewives of Atlanta has quit. One of the girls from 16 and Pregnant or Teen Moms 2, it started out as 16 and Pregnant and then it moved on to Teen Moms 2, actually got married recently. So there's a lot of information I'll be posting in the Rad Reality Show group page in the next day or two.
I also,
lots of information.
Crystal Marsh is in the chat tonight as well, and sounds like her
event and her.
Yeah.
They've raised so much money.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk a little bit before we leave about the Toys for Tots event. And, you know, on Monday, it seemed like there was so much talk about the ride over to the parade. And there was that was a little bit negative. And I wanted to say that there was so much more than that. That was just a teeny tiny little portion of that event. And I don't think Panther even knew that that was going to take place in that manner. I don't think that was planned to happen like that. So I just wanted to say that event was so much more than that one little ride. And those people were so gracious. They were raising money for Toys for Tots. But they had a photo of little Alex, and they were saying, you know, a few people that I know personally, and I'll just go ahead and throw it out there, Pam and Craig wanted to donate money because they weren't going to be there for the actual drawing of the auctions that were being, you know, drawn on Sunday. And they asked, you know, what would be better, to just donate money or to go buy toys or, you know, and they said, you know, whatever you do, just split it. Give half to Toys for Tots and half to Alex. You know, they're so gracious. They wanted to make sure that Alex got half of whatever they were giving. And Cowboy got up and gave the most heartfelt,
yep.
I mean heartfelt, speech,
yes.
And donated
Jerry,
his key and his T-shirt. I mean,
you've been on Tiny Chat before, so you know that sometimes you don't really see everything, and the audio might not be good, or the video might not be good. But oh my God, when Cowboy started talking, and he was kind of off camera, but it was, and all I kept saying was, somebody's got to be videotaping this. Somebody's got to be, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing that, because that was one of the highlights as I watched Tiny Chat the whole weekend when Cowboy got up there.
I mean, I loved our show on Monday, and it was a great, fun show, and we had so many people call in, and I thanked every one of them, you know, for calling in. It was so much fun. But
maybe
I wish we could have spent more time on the positive things that
maybe
took place.
Maybe it's just me, Jerry, I kind of thought it at the time. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think any of the people that were commenting on it. It was more of this is an experience, part of the weekend that I will remember. But I don't think a single one of them let that, you know, rule their whole time there. I mean,
it was just
a memorable time. And as I listened to it, I did not let that one event overshadow everything else that was going on. And I'm hoping that the listeners didn't feel that way either, because it was the vast
such
majority.
Such an amazing event.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
They do such a great job of putting together
the other thing
very organized event. And
yes, it was. Think about this too. What was the other thing that the people that were there said that was very moving and impressive? It was those toys.
Oh my gosh. The amount of toys that were there was just incredible. I mean, incredible. And, you know, there was a lot of money on top of all those toys that will still be donated to buy more toys. So what a successful event they did. I mean, just such a success. And
I can't say
enough about it. And I will always, always praise them and praise that event. They do such a magnificent job up there.
And
I want to bring up Mr. Mack.
I was going to mention that too. And like you said, Cherry, it's gotten better every year, and we learn from the things that happened the previous years, and that's why it keeps getting better and better.
Absolutely. And, you know, Panther does everything in the world she can. That woman is like Superwoman, you know, she has an amazing group of people surrounding her up there that help her.
Great team.
And then you have Cowboy, who just does not
pours
quit.
Everything
I mean,
it.
He just pours his heart and soul into it. And you put those two together, and you just can't lose.
You can't lose.
What
a good way to put it, Jerry. You put those kind of people together, you can't lose. So
that,
true.
It's just the truth. I mean, you can't lose when you've got people that dedicated and that, you know, with their whole heart and soul into it and making sure that nothing in their power is going to go wrong. And if something does happen, as you said, they make sure that it doesn't happen twice.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're just amazing people. So I want to bring up Mr. Mack and find out what he's got going on. Mr. Mack, how are you?
My partner.
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. So what's up with this Pawn Stars drama?
Well, I watched the new show on Monday, and it's the drama still continues about whether Corey's going to get the minority stake in the business or not, and the old man. Not to spoil the whole episode, people haven't seen it, but the old man tells Rick, you know, get with the accountants and the lawyers and let's, you know, figure this thing out. And the way the teaser is for the next show is that either there's a decision that's not going to happen. Corey says, well, you know, I've got, you know, this other job offer is not going to last forever. And so it's kind of a cliffhanger. So we shall see. Of course, you know, this whole thing could be just, you know, scripted and to so you don't ever know. But I don't think it's as scripted as much as it could have been. I think they could have gone over the top on it and whatever. But I'm still baffled why there's such indecision. I mean, you know, Rick says he goofs off a lot and everything, but you know, it's the family business, and he works just as hard, like you said, Cherry, last week, that he works as hard in that store as the rest of them do.
Right, he does, and you know, I'm sure he's been working in there since he was a kid, you know, and learning that business. And who else are they going to pass it on to? I mean, that's his, you know. His legacy, that's, I don't understand what the big deal is. It seems like it may not be scripted, but they may be doing this a little bit just for some drama in the show or something, you know, just to sort of play it up or something. I don't know. It seems like, or maybe they're just torturing him a little bit. I don't know. Maybe they're just doing this to make him appreciate it a little bit more.
That's a good possibility, too.
But why wouldn't they give him that 10%? You know, it just seems like that isn't asking a lot. He's worked there for so long and learned so much, and he does as much, if not more, than than anyone there. Why wouldn't they? You know. So
okay, let me.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I don't watch it. The guy that you're speaking of, does he not get a lot of TV airtime? He does work behind the scenes more so.
No, he's the son, and he's in the, I'd say what Jerry in the last year, 2 years, he's gotten a lot more FaceTime in the show. As a matter of fact, he's more prominent this season than he has been in quite a while.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely a major player in their cast. And he, you know, he makes a lot of the purchases. He knows a lot about everything that they buy, everything that's in that store, everything about that business. He knows, you know, the ins and outs.
And he's more up on the pop culture today than the Rick and the old man is.
Hey, speaking of Vegas, let's not forget to remind people, if they haven't already gone to Dan Kaminsky's website, that the pencil dispenser raffle is still going on.
Absolutely, and I'm going to try to get back. I had been posting that every weekend, but this past weekend with me being out of town, I didn't get it posted on all of our pages this past weekend, but I'll get back to doing that this weekend. We do want to make sure that everybody that can buy those tickets, the raffle tickets, do buy the raffle tickets. They're only $5 each, and you would get an amazing, amazing experience. If you go out there to Vegas to pick it up, you get to have a dinner with Rick and the entire crew out there at American Restoration, Rick Dale and the whole crew out there at American Restoration, plus a 3 to 4 hour, I think you said, tour through the shop where all of the magic happens that they make happen with all the restorations that they do. And he said that those are some of the most welcoming, kindest people that you would ever meet. And so to be able to go out there and spend time with them would just, I'm sure, be an absolute honor. And then you also get the pencil dispenser, which
I was going to say
we heard Rick Dale talk about how, you know, it's actually a very rare pencil dispenser. It's an antique. Paul, don't yell at me for saying that. It is an antique, and it is very rare. And it's been totally restored by Rick Dale and American Restoration. So, if you win, you're going to have a blast. And if you don't win, you know that your money has gone to an amazing, wonderful organization that takes care of the people who have stood up and fought for our freedom in this country. So you can't lose either way.
I was also chuckling. I'm sorry to do it, but I'm just trying to picture this in my mind when Face Ones says, "Cat is knocking at the door." I mean, what? Well, that's a special cat. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
So
I'm glad that you had a great time, Cherry, but seeing as I just brought up a pet, how excited were your puppies, your babies, to see you when you got home? Isn't that the greatest, when you come home and you get greeted by your dogs?
Oh my gosh. I mean, just calling home, the little Italian greyhound would hear my voice and just whine.
Oh, really?
And coming home, my Afghan hound practically knocked me to the floor. She was so excited. It's just the best. I mean, it's just the best. And I don't know if anyone else watches Flipping Out on Bravo. It's usually a show that Jeff Lewis is sort of harsh and doesn't show a lot of emotion. It's been on for a number of seasons, and he's usually sort of, I don't know exactly what term to use for him, but he doesn't have a lot of emotion. At least he's usually not very sentimental. But they showed for his finale episode his cat of either 12 or 13 years, Monkey, having to be put down because of it being very, very ill. And it was the most heartbreaking, sentimental, touching episode I have ever seen. And Jeff Lewis was just on Watch What Happens Next with Andy on Bravo. And he said that he's had over 10,000 letters written to him after that episode.
Yeah, well,
about his cat passing.
Those of us who have had that happen to their pets know exactly where, you know, how that feels, and it's a really tough time. I don't want to run out of time before I thank again on the air Mr. Mack for last Thursday's show with me.
I had
a great time. I couldn't believe we went for 2 hours. It just the time flew by, didn't it?
Yeah, sure did. It flew by so fast and everything, and I've just found it really interesting that this episode was, you know, pretty predictable, and I pretty much figured it out the first 2 or 3 minutes of the show that Carter was going to get the boot. I mean, it was pretty obvious that, you know, you could just, I don't know, it just had the feel of a predictability in this episode. With the other one was maybe a little bit, the week before was a little predictable, but not quite as predictable as this one was. It was pretty predictable. And I pretty much knew when Lisa said, you know, about keeping Abby along to the final three, you know, I pretty much figured, well, it's a done deal. So, but, you know, some people, I know that some people have said that, you know, that Denise is being kind of, I don't know, what, contradictory or whatever, in her saying, you know, she wants to bring good people to the end, and then she votes to keep Abby around and everything. But I don't know. I just it was a pretty predictable episode. I think I just have a strong, strange feeling that Denise is going next week, and because Malcolm, he's pretty much
he's going to use his idol.
And yes, I think it was on Cesar Nino's show. Somebody asked his podcast afterwards if they think Malcolm will play the idol or he'll keep it for a souvenir. And basically, the comments is it's an awful expensive souvenir.
Yeah,
if you get booted off, which is totally true.
Well, I just wanted to make sure to thank you again on the air.
Oh,
and
no
I
problem.
I want to thank you too, Mr. Mack. I knew that you'd be the right person to ask, and you certainly were. It was so much fun calling in and talking to you on air, and
that was fun.
you were just wonderful. So I want to thank you as
well. Yeah, we had a few highlights from Cherry when she came on. We certainly heard sweet Victoria, you know, voice her displeasure or whatever, and then we got to hear your reaction to the lobsters.
Oh, I made a fool of myself.
The lobster,
it was
thing. That was great.
They were huge. I mean, they were huge. Even Sarah said that they were like twice the size of what they have in her area in Canada. So I didn't feel so bad when she told me that afterwards. She said those are, like, just the most huge lobsters she's seen in a long time because, you know, she was telling me the size of the lobsters they have in her area, and she said those are at least twice the size of what they have where she's at. And these things were, like, right when in my face when I turned the corner.
Oh, no.
I just wasn't expecting it. So, I mean, it was a very honest reaction when I turned the corner and they were right in my face. I didn't mean to make a fool of myself, but I did. Anyway, Mr. Mack, thank you so very much for sitting in, and
anytime.
What a great job you did. It was very fun calling in and being a guest. So, we'll have to have you on the show more often.
Well, like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed doing it, and it was, like Paul said, the 2 hours, we were on 2 hours, and I just looked at I got a cordless headset, and I looked at the time, and it was like over 2 hours, and I'm like, wow, where did that time go?
I know, it flies by.
But Paul did a great job on the recap part, and going through the timeline and everything. It was really, he did a great job, so.
Thank you.
He always does.
It's not as good as you, but.
Oh. Well, thank you. We've just got a couple of minutes, so I need to start wrapping this up. We're going to close the show with Ron, as we always do. I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. It's always special seeing everyone in the chat room and seeing all your faces and names and talking to you in the chat room. I want to thank everyone that will be listening at the podcast as well. We always love knowing that you're out there listening to us. We want to make sure that everyone has a blessed weekend. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other. Here's Ron.
I want to finish off with a song. I really felt like it was a great show, and I really do appreciate everyone that did listen and everyone who called in. Thank you. Love you guys.
Well, there's no space and time. I love you for my life, darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
Thank you all for being here with us. Take care, everyone. God bless.